Broadcasting to you from Trailer Island in the heart of Louisville, Kentucky. It's the internet's number one party talk show, The Sam and Dan Nation.
Gentlemen, you are listening to the Sam and Dan Nation. We are the internet's number one party talk show, brought to you exclusively by Jackalope Radio. Daniel, what's going on, baby? How you feeling?
Smoking cigarettes, not watching beers. Captain Kangaroo. Can't watch that shit no more.
You can't watch Captain Green Kangaroo jeans. Anymore. That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 31 days of Samhain. It's Halloween, sir. How do you feel about that shit?
We've been going to haunted houses, which is great because we've kind of missed out on it the past couple of years.
We did. This year we got money. We got that cheddar to be
haunted
spent.
Houses aren't cheap, man. I think anybody
who goes
to them knows.
They're expensive as hell.
But they're
dude.
Worth it.
And they are worth it. Certain ones are worth it. Some of them aren't worth it at all, but
we haven't hit any of those.
No,
this
the
year,
ones
though.
This year. Every year Daniel and I we have this thing. We talked about it on the last program, but we go around to different local haunted houses in the Louisville area, and we, we do our thing, and it's a lot of fun. Every year, we try to do something a little bit different, check out new haunted houses that we haven't been to, and this year, we've already hit a few really, really awesome
ones. And most recently, we went to Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Waverly Hills, if you're not familiar with it, it's this huge, it was formerly a tuberculosis hospital here in Louisville, Kentucky, on the south side of Louisville. Very creepy place. Ghost Hunters has been there. Ghost Adventures has been there. We checked it out this week, and I'd never been. Daniel had never been. Very, very cool place, dude.
And we'll have Dale Clark joining us later in the show.
Yeah, Dale's actually, he's a longtime employee there, and he's also a paranormal investigator. We've never had one of those on the program, have we?
We haven't.
If it's your first time listening to the show tonight, open a cold beer, take your pants off, mix yourself a cold drink, and get ready to party Sam and Dan style. We got a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. Once again, Mr. Dale Clark will be on the program. Very cool dude. We've wanted to have a paranormal investigator on for a while, and a lot of the paranormal investigators that I've talked to, man, just seem cheesy, don't they?
No, Dale's real.
Dale is the real fucking deal, dude.
And he'll tell it to you straight.
Dale is the real deal. He's a well-spoken guy, very well-read, very
good
knowledgeable.
Friend.
You can tell he's a skeptic, too. You know who he kind of reminds me of is Jason from Ghost Hunters.
Right.
Like back in the old school days when Jason was a real, like, fucking hard ass. That's who he reminds me of. And we know him through Fright Night. So
yeah,
it was very cool
dude.
To actually see him at Waverly because we don't
get
to
hang
out.
Yeah, we just stumbled upon him.
We don't get to hang out with a lot of the Fright Night crew, but that was very cool. So big shout out to Dale. We're excited to have him on the program. If you have a bit of the website, please check it out, www.samanddannation.com. We've got a ton of cool stuff up there. Some Halloween-related stuff.
Happy Halloween.
If you didn't know, Daniel and I are proud affiliates of the Fleshlight Freaks. not just the freaks, but the Fleshlights in general. I'm kind of enamored with the Freak products, dude. They're kind of creepy.
Yeah, they're weird. You should check them out.
Fleshlight has this line of Halloween-themed self-pleasure devices. One's a zombie.
Self-pleasuring apparatuses. Apparati. Do you say apparati or apparatuses?
Apparatuses. One's a zombie. One's vampire-themed. It's got, like, teeth on the inside and shit.
Who wants that, though?
I don't know how. Well, I don't think they're teeth. I think they're more like
obviously they don't really teeth.
Massaging nubs.
It's more a visual thing.
Nubules of some kind, yeah. What else? There's an alien, which
You know what?
Kind of looks hot, dude.
Yeah, I know, like just because
I don't
it's
know
strange,
why, but I really
it's like
kinda...
it's got two clits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One to like, there's not one in the middle.
Yeah,
one
growing.
To the side. I don't know.
I don't know why. It's like vibrant fucking. What would you call it? What's the bright colors? What's it's fluorescent. It's like a bright fluorescent fucking baby blue, but for some reason I want to put my penis in it.
Boldly go where no man has gone before.
No idea why. Oh, God. Yeah, so check out the website, buy yourself a Fleshlight, and we're also proud affiliates of the Halo electronic cigarettes. If you're smoking nasty cigarettes right now, put that sumbitch out, go to the website, and order yourself an e-cigarette. Halo is awesome, and you'll enjoy it if you've tried e-cigarettes before and you didn't like them. It's time to experience the Halo difference, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God, what else went on this week? Kevin Smith favorited one of my tweets. That's a monumental thing in my life, man. That's fucking pathetic how much of a Kevin whore I am. But yeah, because Comic Book Man, I'm a huge fan of the show. Starts back October 14th, and I tweeted at Kevin. I tweeted him something about that. And then I said, Fleshlight should make a Ming sleeve. If you don't know, the Fleshlight makes different sleeves for different porn stars and shit, and you know, sometimes they'll have like the mouth hole or the anus or the vagina or what the fuck ever. I'll be honest, I would give a Ming sleeve a run. I'm just saying. If you don't know, Daniel and I are running a little bit of a contest, aren't we, Daniel?
We are indeed.
What's it called? Say it for him.
America's Bustin' the Booty.
That's right.
I want to also point out, we're hoping to get some Halloween booties up on the America's Best New Booty.
Yeah. Any chicks out there, any women who are following the America's Best New Booty page, literally 100 brand new booty pics getting updated daily. Women out there, if you own like a Halloween thong of some kind, that would be really cool. We haven't seen any of those
yet. Or like just like you're wearing your Halloween costume, you hike the skirt up. You know, we don't care.
Halloween is my favorite time of the year for, that's one of the reasons. Because it's a great excuse for slutty girls to dress slutty.
Nah,
and I'm a fan of that. That to me, that's winning.
Wow, winning, 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 winning.
Winning. When beautiful women have an excuse to dress slutty, I'm all for that. So ladies out there in radio internet's land, if you're listening, please turn up your radios and pay attention. And if you got a Halloween thong, you might want to go ahead and just slide that puppy on and fire up your iPhone or your Android device and find yourself a full body mirror and take us a nice picture of your butt, because we're giving away prizes.
Think you've got the best booty in America? Well, here's your chance to prove it. Join the Sam and Dan Nation as we search for America's best new booty in a contest that will prove to everyone you have the assets to really get the attention you deserve. To enter the contest and win, you must be 18 years of age or older. Take a picture of that big, beautiful backside and email it to Sam and Dan Nation, all one word, at yahoo.com. No nudity, ladies, just a crystal clear, creative pic. It shows us what you're working with. Our grand prize winner will receive cool Sam and Dan merchandise, have their booty pic featured on the official Sam and Dan fan page, and have the opportunity to become an official Team Motorboat Girl. So don't wait another second, ladies. Bust out those camera phones and start taking pictures. We want to see you as America's best new booty.
Motorboat. Team Motorboat. We got to get that going. Maybe that'll be it. Maybe we'll start that in November. We'll start our press them on the glass page for boobies. All right, folks. It's time to pay some bills here. Keep the lights on here in Trailer Island, and we will be right back with this week's news report.
Ever wondered what it would be like to stare into the darkness through the eyes of a madman? For years, the slasher genre has produced some of the most terrifying and influential films in the history of cinema. But what if our fears were real? What if our most sinister nightmares came to life and began hunting us? What if anyone, even you, could become a bloodthirsty monster capable of carrying out your darkest desires? Slashology is a fictitious how-to guide that explores this fantasy, a satirical grimoire of sorts. It describes at length the training necessary to become an unstoppable killing machine. Including in its blasphemous and disturbing pages are the physical training routines, mental preparation exercises, and spiritual transcendence necessary for the hunting and sacrifice of the innocent. It will summon forth the evil inside you, blackening your soul, and taking you to a place few men dare to venture, and even fewer return from alive. Slashology, available on Amazon.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into this week's news report. When I say news, actually, it's going to be a little more Halloween themed this week than it normally is. We got a little
some
more.
Some of it is.
Some of it. We got a little of this, a little of that. It's like that, like this, or like that, and kind of a toss salad of news, if you will.
Salad.
Once again, going to toss your news salad right here in the Sam and Dan Nation. To kick us off, we got a little Seasons After, "Cry Little Sister." Daniel, do you remember this song?
Cry little sister.
Back when Corey Feldman had a career. well, this wasn't actually. This is a remake of that song, but still pretty badass. So let's kick off the news report. Here we go. I like the original, too, though. The fucking thou shalt not fall.
Right. The only thing that song is lacking is
that part.
I mean, it has it, but it's not mic'd as high. It's not as creepy. It doesn't have the same.
It dwindles out. All right, well, let's slide into this news report. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 31 Days of Samhain. You're on the Sam and Dan Nation. Daniel, baby, what you got over there on the news desk?
Oh, I got some weird stuff.
Fire it up.
First, we have Larry Sperling of Nebraska allegedly attacks wife with a sandwich. Now, you know, I could see doing this.
He attacks
but
her
how,
with a sandwich.
How do you consider this a real attack? A 50-year-old Nebraska man has been accused of attacking his wife with a sandwich. Larry Sperling of Melbetta, Nebraska, was arrested late Sunday for disturbing the peace after he allegedly pushed his wife down and rubbed a sandwich in her face. The woman told deputies that Sperling had become irate for making him live in the county and being bored since there is no place for him to walk. Damn it, woman! I get drunk and I want to walk somewhere and I'm just stuck in this goddamn trailer with you, you fucking whore! Anyway, she said that the argument...
Let me make you some sandwiches, Larry.
She said that the argument went on for some time, during which Sperling drank 3... 24-ounce cans of Natty Daddy.
Natty Daddy.
The malt liquor with 8% alcohol to make the bitches sweat.
Holla, Junior. Daniel's cousin's got this term that he's coined for regular naturalized because it has 5.9% alcohol. He says it's got 5.9% to make the bitches sweat.
The woman told deputies that she got tired of the argument and made herself a sandwich and went to the bedroom.
Bitch was like, I'm done with this.
According to the
arrest...
You can
yell at yourself, Larry. I'm making a fucking tuna fish sandwich and I'm going to bed.
According to the arrest affidavit, Sperling followed his wife, pushed her onto the bed and assaulted her with the sandwich.
What was he going to do? Like,
just
smother
rubbing
her?
Rubbing
it
in her face, I guess.
Smother her?
You know,
with
he was
sandwich?
Probably only pissed off because he was drunk and he hadn't had any dinner.
I'm hungry,
and,
bitch.
You know, he wanted her to make him a sandwich.
God damn,
like,
you're out of
a
the
man
kitchen.
Can only take so many banquet dinners. I mean, at
before
least upgrade. Buy a dude a Hungry Man.
Before he just snaps and
I
he's
mean,
like.
I,
he's like, bitch, this is the last sandwich you'll ever eat.
Nuke me some Hungry Man chicken tenders or something, you know?
It's pretty crazy, sir. Jesus. Well, good for you, Larry. Hope you enjoy your spooning with with some very large, sweaty man in Nebraska jail. What else you got over there? That's pretty good. I've never heard of anyone being attacked by a sandwich.
Brian Downing, he's been termed the Alabama teabagger, who rubbed genitals on LSU.
This is going to be good. Hold on.
He rubbed his genitals on an LSU fan's face.
Nice.
Pleads guilty to obscenity. In January 2012, Downing was arrested on charges of sexual battery and obscenity after he
sexual
was
battery?
Rubbing his genitals against a drunken LSU fan after the BCS championship game. He was later released on bond.
Oh, LSU fans, don't hang out in Alabama. You might get fucking teabagged.
On Tuesday, Downing pleaded guilty to two obscenity charges. Prosecutors reached a plea deal with Downing on the morning he was scheduled to be
tried. Now, hold
on.
Do you think that somebody should be fucking charged? That's like a sexual crime, isn't
it? Well, hold on. Let's hear what he got charged with.
Like, homeboy's going to have to, he's going to have to register as a sex offender.
He was scheduled to be tried on charges that include sexual battery, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
Nice.
10 years for a teabagging.
For 10 years
that's
for a teabagging.
Prosecutors
don't
agreed to
drop
the battery charge.
Don't let your balls out in Alabama, folks.
Downing is scheduled to be formally sentenced on November 29th, but Orleans Parish Criminal District Judge Karen Herman indicated she will sentence Downing to 2 years in prison.
What?
And recommend his participation
what?
In a boot camp program
what?
Run by prison officials.
You have got to be
Downing
fucking shitting
Downing will not be required
me.
To register as a sex offender. What's ironic about this story is for putting his nuts on someone's face, he's probably going to be taking a cock in the ass for the next 2 years.
He's going to be on his hands and knees getting filled out like an application.
That's
like,
pretty rough.
Like, I didn't hate LSU this much.
Oh, it gets better. The unconscious LSU fan reportedly sued Downing in May, asking damages for mental anguish, humiliation,
what
embarrassment, anxiety and
what
depression,
a pussy.
Damage to reputation, and lost tuition
because you got nuts on your face
for having to withdraw from school.
He
withdrawed from school
what
for getting nuts across
fucking
his face.
Loser.
Like,
what a loser.
You know, I would be pissed, too, if some dude put
yeah,
a
but
sack
you,
on my
you
face.
Get up and you punch a motherfucker in his
right.
face.
Right. You fucking get over it.
Yeah,
like,
oh, you put your nuts on my forehead. You're a fucking asshole.
At least he didn't stick them in your mouth.
Right. Well, even at that, like, you still get up and punch him in his face. Then, you know, when he goes to sleep, you fucking shit on his chest or something. I don't know. What a
well,
fucking,
they weren't
what
friends
a
or anything.
But. I'm sure they, clearly they weren't friends. I'm just saying, like, what a pussy, man. That's what kills me about America today, dude. Everybody's just become this sopping wet vagina.
Like,
oh,
yeah,
I'm gonna
like,
sue you. What happened to, like, when men would fucking just get drunk and beat the shit out of each other? Drink if you're listening, by the way, out
doesn't
there.
Exist
you should
anymore.
Have a drink in your hand. Drink! God damn it. Ah, it's refreshing. Is that it? That's all you got?
No, I got more. We also have another story about a 70-year-old man. He was a farmer who
okay.
was eaten by his hogs.
Ooh, now this is kind of crazy. This is like some Texas Chainsaw shit.
The district attorney's office says 70-year-old Terry Vance Garner never returned after he set out to feed his animals on Wednesday on his farm near the Oregon coast.
That sucks.
A family member later found Garner's dentures and pieces of his body in the hog enclosure,
but most
of his remains had been consumed.
Damn, dude, pigs will eat anything.
They will. The district attorney's office said in a statement on Monday that it's possible Garner had a medical emergency, such as a heart attack, or was knocked over by the animals before he was killed.
Or he just slipped in pig shit and got eaten.
Criminal activity has not yet been ruled out.
Oh, nobody murdered him, dude. The motherfucker was feeding the hogs. He slipped in pig shit.
That's almost possible.
That's crazy, dude. So, like, if you eat one of those pigs now, that's like secondhand cannibalism?
I guess, you know. I mean, we think about it. How often do we eat humans like mobsters feeding people to pigs?
If they're being fed
maybe
to
that's
pigs,
why bacon tastes
maybe
so delicious.
Bacon's delicious. It's just filled with the sadness of dying victims. I don't know. It's pretty tasty.
In a little brighter news, Brazil is hosting the Miss Bum Bum pageant.
We need to get these motherfuckers on the horn.
Seeking Brazil's best.
You and I need to be in Brazil, sir. Like, clearly we didn't make it this year, but next year we need to be on a fucking plane to São Paulo, sir. That's what
I'm saying. Here's the way it goes down. The nation's cutest derriere will be chosen out of 27 competitors, one from each of Brazil's federative units.
Online voting
will determine 15 finalists.
Really?
Will travel to São Paulo in November.
I love when you keep news stories for me. This is exciting. We're going to fucking dig into this when the show's over. That's good.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Brazil, sir, has got, because we have a mutual friend, Mr. Ron, who lives down there, and he is the spokesperson for Brazilian ass. Like, he talks about it all the time. He's like, every chick down here just got a big, fat ass. All of them.
That's wonderful.
Set your drink down on it, walk away, and come back, and it's still right where it was. Ridiculous.
And that's after she done walked around for a while.
That's after she's walked around for a while. Shook it a little bit. I wonder how many of those chicks on stage are trannies, though. Brazilian women, tuck it and fuck it. Brazil is known for their traps. What's a trap, Daniel?
A trap is something that looks like a beautiful ass.
Gotcha.
Most of the time it's an ass. And then
most
you
of the time it is an ass.
Most of the time you notice there's some balls hanging down there. It's a dude.
It's like, oh, it's so good.
The whole point is that you're supposed to be like, oh, yeah, I would fuck the shit out of that. And then you realize it's a dude.
Then you realize it's a dude.
I don't know.
I got something here. It's a little up our alley. This comes from What the Fuck News. New liquor spirits are being marketed by being poured over models' breasts.
I saw this.
This is pretty interesting. A liquor company has released a line of spirits said to have been poured down the chests, the boobies, of glamour models before being bottled. The limited edition bottles of vodka, rum, and whiskey, they're doing three kinds, are being sold by a German company, G Spirits, for around 100 euros a shot. That's pretty awesome.
So they literally go up in price from touching female breasts.
It's pretty exciting, though. I would buy that. I'm not going to lie. I would buy the shit out of that. It's pretty exciting.
I'm surprised they don't run them down the crack, get a little flavor in there.
Just a little taste.
That would be considered unhygienic.
That is unhygienic. But titties are perfectly hygienic. Nothing wrong with some titties.
As long as there aren't sparkles on them. Look like you're drinking Goldschlager.
Yeah, you don't want to do that at a strip club, because you'll end up with a bunch of fairy fucking pixies in your drink.
They can market it as a new Twilight beverage.
Yeah. Fresh out of a vampire's ass. Just pour it right down Edward's butt crack. Between them, they will produce 2,500 liters of each spirit in small batches, and their images will appear on the bottles that go on sale. So you'll be able to see the women whose titties you will be drinking. Pretty exciting.
It's funny that they found a way to make alcohol sexual.
Well, I mean, what do you mean make it sexual? Alcohol's been sexual since it was invented.
No, alcohol will make you a sexual tyrannosaurus.
This stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
But it itself is not sexual. Alcohol usually ends with you sitting in a pile of your own vomit in someone's bathroom floor while some bitch is beating on the door and she's like, "Get out of there, I need to take a piss."
Daniel's shaking Trailer Island. We haven't had too much to drink for this show. Oh, all right, so let's move on to something a little bit darker, a little bit scarier. Daniel and I, if you've been listening to the show for a while, we do Craigslist ads from time to time. And most of the time, they're just really really fucked up, like, you know, like sexual shit. These are really disturbing. Like, I took the time to kind of comb through the internet today and find a few that just give me chills, dude. Like serial killers literally have got to be the ones writing these ads. They're that fucked up. So let's start off here. This is in the man for man section, which is where dudes go to swap the sausage. All right, the title of this is Hide and Seek, Man for Man. Listen to this. This is fucking creepy, dude. I'm looking for a camping buddy who will join me on a backpacking trip in Sebago Lake State Park. What I essentially want to do is drive up together from Portland and get to know one another and then drop you off at a campsite in the woods. I will give you a 30-minute head start to run and hide in the forest while I set up and come and find you. Then there's a space, and it says, "You don't want to know what happens when I find you." Smiley winky face.
Smiley winky face. That's awesome. This sounds like The Hitcher meets The Most Dangerous Game.
That's fucked up, dude. And I wonder if somebody answered it. And if they did, clearly they're not alive anymore. I would think. here's another one. Watched you walking home for a long time now. That's the title.
Oh,
of the
is
ad.
This like one of those misconnections?
No. It's in the personals. It doesn't say where it's at. It's on Jersey Shore Craigslist.
That would have been a funny misconnection.
Man for woman 22. I saw you leave Edgar's Pub and ended up walking the same direction as you. I felt weird because I happened to be going the same way and ended up following you all the way back to your apartment. Ladies, if you're out drinking, buy some goddamn pepper spray or
bring
a
partner with you.
Bring a partner, bring a spotter, bring a buddy. You kept looking back to make sure I wasn't a creeper. But you seemed,
I totally was.
You seemed pretty creeped out anyway. I thought you were really sexy. And I promise I ain't a raper or anything.
I isn't me a raper or nothing.
I'm gonna try to rape the shit out of you. I figured since I already know where you live, I'd try to figure out who you were so I could ask you out and we could have some fun.
Well, you know, the next step, he should have just skipped this internet bullshit, and he could have just started mailing her, like, pictures of her cat or something.
Or pieces of her cat. Right? Okay, so that's pretty fucking... Craigslist is creepy, dude. Stay off of Craigslist. Dirty, crazy people. Not, I mean, you know, if you're trying to find dick or pussy, find it somewhere else. Go to a bar like normal people. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are super excited to have this man on the program tonight. This guy is the real deal, a longtime associate of Waverly Hills Sanatorium here in Louisville, Kentucky, a personal friend of ours, and a real paranormal investigator. This guy has been in the paranormal game way before it was ever popular, before it was on TV with ghost hunters and ghost adventures and all that shit. This guy was out doing investigations. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Mr. Dale Clark.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track, where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stack. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome a very special guest on tonight's episode of the Sam and Dan Nation, our friend, the semi-retired paranormal investigator and Waverly Hills tour guide, Mr. Dale Clark. Dale, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for being on the program.
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you, man. This is awesome. Halloween is Dan and my favorite time of the year, by far.
And our first paranormal guest.
Our very first paranormal, someone who's actually been a paranormal investigator. So we're excited to pick your brain.
That's all right, man. Hey, I understand liking Halloween. It's Halloween at my house all year round.
Right? That's like I was telling Dan last week. I don't celebrate Christmas anymore. I give my kid his presents on Halloween. I don't endorse the fat man in the red suit. I don't do it anymore. So how long have you been doing ghost hunting, man? Just out of curiosity.
About 15 years.
Wow. So that's a lot of experience. How did you get involved in it? What made you decide you wanted to start ghost hunting? That's actually before it even got popular, really, because,
yeah,
you know, the Ghost Hunters TV show, which is kind of what started the whole craze, that shit didn't even start till like 2005, wasn't it, Daniel? 2006.
Was that late?
Yeah, I think it was that late. So Dale's been in the game for way before it was popular.
Well, the thing about ghost hunting, I think, you know, I'm not Christian, okay? And I think
it's okay.
You know,
it's okay. Neither am I.
You know, humans, I think, have a tendency to navigate towards the spiritual. And if they, you know, my parents were both, you know, Catholic, but I didn't really want to go that route. And, you know, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So, but, you know, there was a void, and, you know, you start looking for something. Humans, I think, we want to believe in something.
Right.
And it's just in our nature. And when my parents were kids, you know, they knew pretty much where they were going to be every Sunday. You know, they went to church and they went to grandma's as a family. And as right. you know, families in America have kind of drifted apart and the family structure is different. And I don't mean that is a bad thing,
right.
but it's just different. You know, there is a spiritual void. Well, I don't want to get on too big of a soapbox, but you know,
no, I agree with you.
I guess I was looking for something, and I happened to take a tour with a ghost hunter. Gave me the tour, and I got to talking to him, and we had some of the same ideas. And he invited me to a meeting, and I went, and you know, I thought, you know what, maybe this will help me find some answers that I'm looking for.
Well, that's cool. That's very cool. That's a reason why it's always intrigued me, man. Because I'm, like I said, I'm not a Christian, but I am. I would consider myself a spiritual person. I don't believe we got here by fucking accident. I mean, I don't know how we got here. If like an alien flew by 6 million years ago and threw a handful of DNA out the window, but I don't believe it was purely by accident.
Oh, your Star Trek is showing. That was definitely a Preservers reference. Okay.
Well. You know, when you look at these programs, man, and you watch like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, and even, you know, following some of the semi-professional ghost hunters, if you will, they catch a lot of really interesting shit, man. Some of it's really, really hard to explain, even for people that are skeptics. So we were curious, out of some of the investigations that you've done in your past, I'm sure you've done a lot, what are some that have really, like, stuck out in your mind? Any specific cases that you can talk about?
I can't go into a whole lot of detail
right.
as far as who and where,
right.
but I can give you some scenarios.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. This is a really good one, but not in the way you'll think. One of the very first investigations I ever went on, we got this email from a guy who was emailing us for his grandmother, and she was having all kinds of problems, and there was, you know, stuff, you know, falling off her countertops and her end table, coffee table, stuff getting knocked off everywhere, you know, just flying across the room, all this other stuff, and you
right.
know, all kinds of weird noises. And, you know, she was really, really scared, but she was very, very old
right.
and wasn't very internet savvy. And, you know, the ghost hunting, for some reason, is pretty much always, at least since I started doing it, always been around the internet.
Yeah.
Circling
yeah.
around.
Right.
So, we loaded up, we contacted her via telephone and loaded up a van full of equipment. And back then, the equipment was very, very basic compared to some of the stuff you see on TV. And we went out there and we set everything up and did what they call a vigil, which is basically a bunch of people sitting in the dark just trying to keep a skeptically open mind and writing down every time they see, smell, or hear anything.
Right.
And as we're sitting there, sure enough, stuff is moving and all kinds of weird noises, but we do have a couple of night vision cameras up. Now, remember I told you this lady was old.
Right, right.
She didn't see very well at all.
Okay.
And what comes about the problem was she was completely and totally infested with mice and could not see them. and they were knocking the shit off her, you know, counter spot. And
like,
you know,
some Ratatouille shit.
Yeah. Well, see, man, that's the difference between ghost hunting when I first started doing it and ghost hunting now.
Right.
When I first started doing it, people didn't want a ghost.
Right.
They wanted you to find a reason this was happening.
Right.
And, you know, that was when they first started doing experiments about, you know, high electromagnetic fields from TV causing hallucinations and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, people were looking for a reason to
right.
not have a ghost. You know, please find a reason. And now it's 180 degrees out.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to find a ghost now.
You know, it reminds me, freaking Beetlejuice. I hadn't watched it since I was a kid, practically. I watched it about a year ago. Probably this time last year. And I thought it was funny because, like, instead of being scared, you know, the concept is that they're like, we can up the value of this house as opposed to the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
if it's haunted,
people,
we can sell the shit out of it.
The freaky people want to buy it.
That's crazy. That's hilarious. All right, so let's talk about Waverly for a second. We obviously came through last weekend and toured. Fantastic tour, man. The place is, I had never been there. Daniel never had either. We've seen it on TV, seen it on a bunch of ghost shows. The place is fucking mind-boggling when you pull up to it. Like, you can't take it in visually when you see it on screen until you're standing in front. The place is huge. Huge.
180,000 square feet.
Insane, man. Insanely large. Like, just a breathtaking. The whole structure just feels dark as shit and creepy and... It's almost like you're stepping through time or something when you walk through the doors, man. It's a weird feeling. How did you get involved with that? How did you become involved with the Waverly Hills people?
Well, a long time ago, they had a ghost hunting group that helped them out, started doing tours with them. That was right after they first bought it.
Right.
And I was involved with that ghost hunting group, and I helped out as much as I could. Read a lot, learned a lot of history, used to work the parking lot on a regular basis. Hell, I still do. You know, I do whatever they need me to do. And,
right.
You know, back then, you know, there was no bathrooms. There was a couple of mercury lights outside. That would, you know, there were no exit signs out
right.
in the building like there is now. And no security system. You know, we had a burn barrel. The office was a picnic table under a tent.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. And,
wow.
You know, we just got to, in the back then, you know, they'd open it up for 4 weeks. You know, we'd do tours during the month of October on, like, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday nights.
Right.
And it was a lot different back then because there were no reservations, and we never knew how many people would show up.
Right.
We'd
right.
kick the gate open, and it might be 30, and it might be 300.
Right.
And we'd run tours 35, 40 at a time all night till everybody was gone.
Right.
And it was chaos, and, you know, there was a lot of information that we used back then that, you know, wasn't as well researched as maybe as it should have been. And
right.
back then, there were almost more urban legends than there was actual information.
Right.
The people she's got up there now, like Nancy and Charlene, and, you know, they've done wonders at researching this stuff and actually finding evidence.
Right.
And a lot of the information has changed. But I think that's a good thing. Nobody wants to, as a tour guide, you don't want to go in and tell something that's not right. I guess I've drifted way off topic.
No. Well, that actually, it brings me, you were kind of there from the ground floor, but it brings me into the next question I had, which was, you know, there are a ton of urban legends, and you actually, you brought that up during the tour when we and Daniel and I were there, and we had you know, the misconception in our head, something about room 502 and the lady who hung herself or was hung or what happened. And I thought it would be cool if you could maybe give our listeners a little insight into maybe that legend or some other prominent urban legends about Waverly that are, you know, incorrect or people are just looking at it the wrong way.
Oh, I've got a couple then.
Cool.
As far as the nurse goes, the urban legend has it. Most people have heard it that, you know, a nurse hung herself in there and that she was pregnant and that she had TB.
Right.
And that she hung herself because of the TB.
Right.
That is unfortunately, you know, not true. It's not what happened. She didn't hang herself in 502 at all. She hung herself from a light fixture out in front of 502 that is no longer there.
Right.
And she was not pregnant. It, you know, and like I said on the tour, at least not anymore. There was a big ravine out back with a cistern and a washout, and they found the baby's body in the washout. Now,
God.
You know, like I said, nobody's ever going to know for sure exactly what happened.
Right.
You know, a couple different possibilities. You know, maybe the baby was just stillborn.
Right.
You know, that's unfortunately, as gruesome as that is, that's about the, you know, the best thing we could hope for.
Right.
You know, you do know that she had gotten pregnant by a doctor who was married to somebody else. Mm. And in the late 20s, that was very big deal.
Taboo.
And you got to remember what society was like back then. You know, a lot of people, they take for granted how things are now. But, you know, in the 20s, if you were to come home as a woman, if you were to come home as a pregnant woman not married to your house and tell your parents, more than likely you would be shipped off to a home. And, you know, you would stay there to the duration of your pregnancy. And when you had it, you would probably not get to hold it, and it would be auctioned off for adoption. And then if you were lucky, if your dad was kind of cool, and I'm using that, I'm being very sarcastic here.
Right.
You might get to come home if nobody else had found out about what happened to you.
Right.
After it was all over. But that was, you know, a maybe. I mean, it was, you know, society was just a lot different back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Since it was illegal, I hope not, but it's possible. The whole hanging thing could have been staged.
Right.
Because it could very well have been an abortion gone wrong.
Right.
Nobody, like I said, nobody will know for sure. I would not call this lucky. I wouldn't.
Right.
But I do know, you know, they have talked to, they had a gentleman, a very old gentleman, show up at the gate one day, and he had brought his employment records, and he had details that they don't divulge to the public about the incident, and it turned out he was the actual maintenance man who had to cut her down.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. So, that gave me chills.
Right?
That's crazy, man. Well, speaking of creepy shit, what are some of the most bizarre things you've seen at Waverly? You've been there for a long time, obviously years. I mean, surely you see things pretty regularly or hear things. We even witnessed some things that Daniel and I couldn't really explain on the tour with you, and we were only in the son of a bitch for 25 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever we were up there for. So what's some of the craziest stuff you've seen?
Believe it or not, the craziest thing I ever saw, I didn't see. Back in those days when I was telling you about, you know, when the office was a picnic table under a tent, a lot of the doors inside, a lot of them are metal, and they were still log chained shut. You know, they didn't have a whole lot of security around the building or inside the building, or at least not like it is now.
Right.
And that, pulling a log chain through a metal door is very, very noisy. So we decided pretty quick that somebody had to go in the building before tour started to unlock all the doors so that the first tour guide wouldn't have to stop and make all this noise. And it's just very disruptive.
Right.
So we took turns, you know, okay, you know, tonight it's your turn. No, tonight it's your turn. And what happened was, this was in about 2003, and I went to the building, and it was my turn. I was unlocking all the doors, and I only had one left. That was the door that goes out on the fifth floor. Had walked across the fourth floor, went to the main stairwell, the one that goes up to five, and I went around the landing and was halfway up the steps of the door, and that's when it happened. Now, at the time, I was the only living, breathing person in the building, and the best way I can describe it is that it felt like a cane, and it hit me across the shoulder blades hard enough to not only knock me down, but it took my breath.
Ooh.
And what I got for my trouble is, you guys noticed that all the steps had marble caps on them.
Yeah.
When I landed, it was real warm that night. I had on some shorts. It took a little plug out of my shin. It actually was what it looks like.
Oh, wow. Shit.
I probably needed stitches, but, you know, I'm from Valley Station, and I had 300 people outside. I ripped off my shirt sleeves and tied it around my leg and kept going.
That's crazy. So you literally straight up got attacked.
Yeah. To quote a cheesy movie, I didn't have time to bleed.
Nice. Well, now that makes me ask this, because, you know, you said you had 300 people outside. Obviously, there's people in and out of there all the time now because of the popularity of the place. How often do you see paranormal incidents during tours?
Waverly is about number 7 on the list of haunted locations in the world.
Right.
Somewhere between 5 and 7. All right. And that's including, you know, some heavy, heavy, you know, like Auschwitz and that sort of thing.
Right, right, right.
Heavy, heavy places. But as far as consistency, most consistently active,
right,
it's 1 or 2.
Wow.
Waverly is very, very much, that's why most of the TV shows that come there come right. back more than once.
Right.
Because, you know, they can pretty much be sure that something's going to happen. Now, right. it doesn't always make good TV. Some of the coolest stuff they get, they the cameras are off, or you know,
right.
you can't really see what it is, or, you know,
right.
even though they're standing there and they know it's not what happened, it can be easily explained. I know a lot of people that see the balls rolling on TV that do not believe it. But yet I had, you know, one of the tour I took in right before you guys the other night, there was a ball rolling in a circle on the fifth floor. And the, I thought the tour people, luckily, they realized that nobody had been in that room.
Right.
And we all, yeah, a couple of us walked in there to make sure that there it wasn't a breeze. And I thought a couple of them were going to pass out. Holy shit, it's moving. Yeah, it does that up here.
Something was rolling the ball around in the floor. Well, that's yeah. exciting. I mean, for somebody who's just, you know, they're a little skeptic or they're just interested in the paranormal, to take a tour there is definitely an eye-opening experience. It really is, because, you know, I mean, Dan and I, we're interested in it, and I'm interested in it. I mean, I follow a lot of ghost shows and stuff, but never really, you know, gotten truly interested in ghost hunting or anything like that. So we were really excited to take the tour, and you know, like the shadow people, it was up on the fifth floor, wasn't it? That's where we were
no,
at.
No, fourth floor.
Okay, yeah. That's creepy shit, man. I mean, it's really... I'm getting chills just talking about it.
I have to mention this. Clearly, you know the place like the back of your hand now, because we have to walk in, you know, Dale. He has a flashlight, but most of the time it's off. And I actually, like, you walked around a corner, and I'm like, where is he?
Yeah, Dale was walking backwards. That's how well you know the place. You're walking backwards through the whole thing. It's crazy.
Well, you got to remember, like you guys saw, you know, other than the first floor, which, you know, we're not really using because the haunted house is going on, you know, every weekend through the rest of the month. And there's my shameless plug there for you. And
we're going to plug it, too. Don't worry, man.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, it's never, ever, you know, completely pitch black in there up above the first floor. You know, sometimes it's darker than others, you know, depending on the phase of the moon and that
right.
sort of thing. But, you know, one of the things that they made us do is to be a tour guide. You know, you guys, if you come for a regular tour, you start out in the laundry building and you walk through a tunnel under the parking lot to get in.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's how you get in the building. Now, to be a tour guide, you have to make it from the laundry building through the tunnel up to the first floor. Down to the stairwell, up to the fourth floor, walk across the fourth floor, up to five, go into 502 where they've left a radio sitting. You radio, hey, I've made it. You put the radio back down. You come back down and walk across a different floor, back to the stairwell, come back to the laundry room by yourself in the dark with no flashlight.
Nice.
Now, if you can't do that, you can't be a tour guide. And the reason why they want you to do that, because people wonder, you know, does something up there happen every time we take a tour? For the most part, yes. I would say it's probably 96% of the time, 96-97%. But it doesn't happen every time. That's why I always tell you people, if they didn't see nothing, come back. All right, it will eventually find you. And
yeah.
That's what you have. Because if something really does happen that is serious, like somebody gets pushed or scratched or something like that, or you can't have a tour guide that's going to run and leave
right.
you know, 30 customers standing in a dark hole, no idea
right.
how to get out. Now, I tell right. you who was the best at it, all right? The best person that's ever done that test is my wife. my wife, Renee, she did it, and she's so tough, she went last, and she locked all the doors behind her on her way back out.
Nice.
You know, she's way. Everybody thinks that I'm scary, and she's way tougher than I am. Way tougher.
All right. Well, a lot of great questions, a lot of great answers. Thank you so much. Got a couple more questions here. You know, and this is kind of topical and broad, but, you know, you've been in the business for a long time. What is some advice you would give to someone interested in becoming a paranormal investigator?
Start with the basics. Please remember that your best tool, you know, you can spend a whole lot of money on some weird shit that's out there now. The best tool you got is a skeptically open mind.
Right.
All right. If you see something weird happen, go back, try to recreate it. If you recreate it, it probably wasn't paranormal. All right, and I think everybody should start out with a friend of mine. I don't get to talk to him very much anymore, but everybody, I don't care if you're even remotely interested in it, should start out by reading A Ghost Hunter's Guide book by Troy Taylor.
Nice.
I really think they should, because it really explains some of the more basic stuff that you can use that doesn't cost a total assload of money.
Right.
And, you know, it basically explains that if you go to a place and you sit in the dark for 4 or 5 hours and nothing happens, there is absolutely nothing on this earth more boring. You know,
right.
There's just not.
I mean,
unless it happens to be a really cool place, like, you know, I've been to some weird places. You know, back before they turned it into a parking garage, we used to hang out in American Standard a lot. I've been to the prison over in Moundsville, West Virginia. I've been to the prison in Mansfield, Ohio, where they filmed Shawshank Redemption.
Nice. That place is supposed to be seriously haunted too, isn't it?
That place is. They're all really, really cool.
Right on.
The one place in this half of the country that I haven't made to, I've always wanted to. I've never made it to the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, but at some point I will.
Have you ever been to Bobby Mackey's?
Yes, I have.
Is the hype real? I'm just curious.
I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody.
Right.
Gotcha. All I can tell you is, you know, they seem genuinely to believe what they told us. Just the night I was there, nothing happened.
You just didn't see anything.
Now, does that mean it's not haunted? No, it doesn't.
Right.
Gotcha.
You know, I have things happen in my house. I have ever since I bought it. But, it doesn't happen on cue or every day or anything like that. You know, it's... All I can tell you is that when I was there, nothing happened, but that doesn't really, all it means is why I was there, nothing happened.
All right, well, now this is this is the last question. It's kind of weird. Daniel and I kind of argued a little bit about it, but I got to ask you anyway, because anybody who has, yeah, maybe, it's a pretty heavy question. Anybody who's had as much experience dealing with this kind of shit as you has got to probably have some kind of opinion on this, so... I'm just going to ask you, from your experience and the things you've seen in your career working in paranormal investigations and working for a place like Waverly Hills, in your opinion, would you say that you believe without a doubt that there is life after death?
I don't know if I'd phrase it that way.
Okay.
There is something else. I don't know. You know, at one time I was kind of convinced that the stuff that we see that we call ghosts was some sort of scar tissue on the time continuum. I really did.
Right.
But then that was, at the time, the only thing I'd ever seen was a residual haunting.
Right.
Which is basically one that doesn't acknowledge that you're there.
Right.
The first time I came across an intelligent haunting, that's something that actually reacted.
Right.
Or answered a question or something like that, that kind of messed that theory up for me just a little.
Right. I can imagine.
I don't know if I would call it a life. I hope it is. But
right.
I do wholeheartedly believe that you're not done when you die. There's something else going on.
Very cool. Very cool. I'll take that. It was a deep question. And you know, I you know, honestly, myself, from the research and stuff that I've done, I feel the same way. None of us really have the answers, though, until we cross that gate.
Who knows if you have them then?
Yeah, that's the fucking scary
what if you just
part.
Go into another little area.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck?
What happens now?
Yeah, no tour guide there. Oh, shit. Dale, man, thank you so much for being on the program. Dale Clark, ladies and gentlemen, a very well-spoken dude, very knowledgeable, knows his shit. Please go out if you live in the Louisville area or if you live anywhere within driving distance, go see Waverly Hills, you know, go see our buddy Dale there and hang out with the people at the Waverly Hills place. Very, very, very cool. Had a ton of fun, and we'll actually be back again this Halloween season for sure. So thank you, Dale, all for right. being on the program, man. We really appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.
No
Talk
problem.
To you soon.
Mr. Dale Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Dude, that was one of the best interviews we've had from somebody who, I mean, he's a super intelligent guy. He knows his shit. He
great
knows what
speaker.
He's talking about. Yeah, great speaker. He should consider maybe going around and like literally speaking on the paranormal and stuff. He's
yeah,
very,
I
very
like
easy
his
guy to listen to.
I
man.
Like his views on it a lot more than some.
No, I do too. I really do. Very, very, very intelligent guy, well spoken. So, thank you, Mr. Clark, for being on our humble little program tonight. And we will definitely come back and and go through another tour. Waverly Hills Sanatorium, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't been there, check it out. We're coming to the end of the Sam and Dan Nation here, and like I said, folks, it's the 31 Days of Samhain here on the S&D. Thank you so much for listening to the program tonight. We're about done. We're about out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Sam and Dan Nation. Check us out at www.samanddannation.com. Buy yourself a fleshlight and a electronic cigarette from the nice people over at Halo. Support the S&D. Help keep the lights on here in Trailer Island, folks. Big thanks again to Mr. Dale Clark and all the nice people over at Waverly for letting him be on the show this evening and talking to us and giving us a little insight into the paranormal world. And we're going to take you out this evening with a very cool song. This song was inspired by what film?
Silence of the Lambs.
That's very true. Greenskeepers, it puts the what on its skin?
Lotion.
Not the semen, the lotion. It puts the lotion on its skin, ladies and gentlemen. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
I'm looking down the hole. You're looking up at me. You're cold and tired. That is easy to see. Lower the rope to you, a bucket on the line.